Good morning and welcome to church. We're so glad that you've joined us. If you're new, we want to connect with you. Be sure to stop by New Here Start Here on your way out and grab a free gift just as our way of saying thank you for joining us. Again, welcome to Grace River. Church will begin in just a moment.
Well, what's up, everyone? Welcome to Grace River Church on Baptism Sunday. We're so excited you're here. Yeah. We're going to stand and sing some songs to our Lord. Come on, sing.
Oh, we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God.
guys so much for being here. You may have a seat. My name is Hannah. I just want to say thank you for joining us for such a special Sunday. If this is your first time, we would love to get the chance to connect with you, get to know a little bit more about who you are. And so you can scan that QR code on the back of the seat in front of you, fill out our online connect card, and then be sure to stop by New Here Start Here on your way out today. We have a free gift just to say thank you for joining us. Today is a really special Sunday. It's Baptism Sunday, and we have 21 people going public with their faith. Yeah. It's been amazing to see what God is doing in and through the life of our church, and you've chosen a great Sunday to be here. So when these people get baptized today, I want to encourage you, we're going to celebrate these people, because the day that they said yes to Jesus, there was a party in heaven, and so we're going to celebrate. Yeah. What's super cool to me is that we get to baptize a lot of our students today. As many of you know, we went to camp just a couple of weeks ago, and as exhausting as it was to travel to Ohio with 125 students, it was the most rewarding week ever. It's probably the best year of camp that we've experienced, and over all those students, we had 25 salvations, 17 baptisms, 26 rededications, and 3 surrender to full-time ministry. Yeah. I know when we post pictures of camp, it probably looks like all we do is play in the mud and go kayaking and have a blast, which we do all those things. But when we get into those services and we get into small group times, the students are so real and so raw, and their hearts are so open and hungry for what God has for them. And in that week of camp, we got to see chains broken, addictions laid down, and students' hearts changed for eternity. And so from the bottom of mine and Jacob's heart, I just want to say thank you for being a church that believes in not only the next generation of doctors, teachers, and lawyers, but thank you for believing in the now generation. Thank you for giving. Thank you for praying. Because if it wasn't for a church supporting the student ministry, we would not have been able to take all those kids to Ohio and let them experience the life change that they had. And so, again, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you, thank you, thank you. It was an incredible week, and I wish that every single one of you could have seen the impact that camp made in and through the lives of our students. We're going to share a bunch of their stories today, and I just can't wait to see that the life change that continues to happen in our students. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for every single person in this room. Thank you for the life change that our students got to experience at camp. And God, as we celebrate today, we want to give you all of the honor and all of the glory for what happened, Lord. It's nothing that we could physically and humanly ever do, God. It's only what you have done in and through this, you sending your son Jesus to die for us. So, Lord, we give you the glory today as we celebrate all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you guys so much for being here. My name is Jacob, and I get to be the student pastor to the amazing group of students that went to camp with us. And so we're going to baptize a lot of these students. As Hannah celebrated, we're baptizing 17 of them. 25 of them gave their lives to Jesus at camp this year. And God is going to continue to work, and we're just so blessed by the opportunity to have taken the students. But more than just students getting baptized, there are kids that are getting baptized, adults that are getting baptized today, because we know that life change is not just possible in the next generation. It is possible in your life, the person's life next to you. And the significance behind why we baptize is clearly stated in Scripture. Scripture talks about how baptism does not save you. Baptism is simply an outward expression of the inward decision that you have made to follow Jesus. If you've grown up in church, you might have heard of this ring analogy. I take this ring off. I'm still married to my wife, Hannah, wherever she is. The one that was just up here on stage. I'm still married to her, but this is an outward sign for me to show the world that I am married to Hannah. In the same way, these baptism waters aren't holy. There's nothing special about them. It comes out of a garden hose, and it is as simple as that. This is an outward expression of the inward decision that these kids, students, and adults have made to follow Jesus. And we're going to celebrate that today. Scripture talks about how when you get buried, whenever you go under the water, it is a representation of your old life before Christ. And then when you come up out of the water, It is a representation, a picture of what your life looks like with Jesus. And so what we're going to do is we're going to celebrate these real stories. These are real stories of life change. These are real stories of kids, students, and adults that have encountered Jesus, and Jesus has changed everything in their life. And so if you're new here and you're here supporting somebody that's getting baptized and this is all new to you, I want you to just kind of relish the moment. I want you to just sit back and watch how this goes. But most importantly, man, this is a celebration. These students, kids, adults, they said yes to Jesus, and there was a party in heaven when they did that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to bring heaven to earth, and we're going to celebrate like heaven does, okay? You guys, 9:45, come on. Let's redo that. We're going to celebrate like heaven does. Let's give God some glory. Come on. Amen. Amen. I am so excited about today, Baptism Sunday and Camp Sunday, my favorite Sunday of the year. No questions about it. And so what we're going to do is we're going to baptize Danica Wright first. Let's give it up for Danica. Yeah, Danica. So Danica gave her life to Jesus last year at camp, actually. And life has been anything but easy for Danica since she gave her life to Jesus last year. She lost both of her grandparents, whom she loved dearly, and that had to have been such a difficult thing to be able to process. And she also was hurt by somebody that she loved so dearly. And as a result of that, it led to a state of depression in her life. And it was a really difficult season for Danica. She mentioned that in that season of depression, over these last few months, she really turned away from God. It was in this season that she really doubted God's plan and His purpose for her life. And you're going to make me emotional, Danica. I'm going to try not to cry. And she even questioned His existence. But it wasn't until camp that she was reminded of this truth that every single one of these students, don't cry, Danica. That she was reminded of this truth that every single one of these students came face to face with, that you are fully known and fully loved, and that truth changed your life. You gave your life to Jesus, but it's been anything but easy since then, and this was a year where it was almost a turning point for you, and I'm so proud of you. She wants to give a special shout out to her parents. She says that she wouldn't be here today without her mom and her dad there to support her back here in the corner. Way to go. Let's give it up for mom and dad. Thank you, guys. You have so much to be proud of. Danica, I'm proud of you, and I'm going to say this a lot today, but I believe that the best is yet to come. Danica's getting ready to go to college, and I had such an amazing conversation about this next season of her life, and I'm going to continue to pray for you. I know that you're getting ready to go off into college, and you're not going to be with us every week, but you're still one of my students, and I still love you, and I'm so proud of you. And so, Danica, have you put your faith and trust in Jesus?
Yes.
Amen, amen. Well, upon your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, buried in likeness of His death, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. Good job, Danica. Absolutely. Proud of you. All right, next we have, who do we have next? Jackson Phillips. Yeah, let's give it up for Jackson. Jackson surrendered his life to Jesus whenever he was 8 years old, as a little kid, as a little boy, and he mentions that life has been anything but easy since then as well. He went to camp, and camp was a turning point for him as he rededicated his life. I've gotten to know Jackson over the last few years, and Jackson has had a rough bout over the last few months, and you've kept the faith. And I couldn't be more proud of you, dude. This is a moment that you'll never forget. And I think that God is just beginning a special work in your life. And he wants to shout out his mom and his dad who are here again. His brother is here. His siblings. Man, to know Jackson is to love him. He is an amazing kid who loves Jesus. And again, this is going to be a turning point, a moment that you never forget. And so, Jackson, have you put your faith and trust in Jesus? Amen. Well, upon your profession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, buried in likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen, dude. Amen. Love you, bro. I'm proud of you.
So, is this on? Okay, there it goes. As many of you know, not Jacob and I alone can take 125 students to camp, and we got to take an amazing leadership team to camp with us this year, and a lot of our leaders played really influential and impactful roles in our students' lives, and so the next few baptisms are really special to me, because I get to see my friends and our leaders baptize our students, and so I'm going to turn it over to Christy Hervé.
I'm really nervous. I've never done this, and public speaking is my least favorite thing to do, but more than I hate public speaking, I love these students. So I get to baptize Ashlyn first. Come on up, Ashlyn. Ashlyn actually dedicated her life to Jesus last year at camp. But this year at camp, she rededicated her life and decided that she was ready to take the next steps and do baptism. She said that before Jesus, she always felt like something was missing in her life, but never knew what it was. That her life hasn't necessarily been hard, but hasn't always been easy. And looking back at those times, she realized that God was with her and that she was ready to go public with her faith, with her baptism, to show he is always working in your life, no matter your age or your situation. She wants to thank her youth leaders for helping her grow in her faith and giving her someone to look up to, her friends for inviting her and always encouraging her and to join this amazing church with amazing people. And her family for allowing her to grow at her own pace and providing her with endless support.
Awesome. Ashlyn, do you know Jesus is your Savior?
Yes.
Yay. Okay, upon your profession of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. All right, next up we have Addison Evans.
So on top of Addie getting baptized today, it's also her birthday. Woo! Woo-hoo! So two rebirths today. This is it. Happy birthday. This is Addison Evans. She has always known Jesus. She's already been baptized once. But this year at camp, she rededicated her life to Jesus. It was amazing getting to see her just have Jesus pulling on her heartstrings that week and just calling her back closer to him. We got to have a bunch of really awesome conversations in small group and just work through some things. And so it was great. So incredibly proud of her. She would like to thank Blanca for always being there, inviting her to come with her. And I'm just nervous, so it's fine. But yeah. Addie, I'm so proud of you. And congratulations. Happy birthday.
Addie, do you know Jesus as your Savior?
Yeah.
Upon your profession of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. All right, next up we have Ella Zierenberg.
Hi, Ella. This is Ella. I had the absolute joy of getting to know Ella at camp this year. She is such just a shining light all around her friends, and it was amazing getting to know her at camp. During one of our small group sessions, I really pushed the girls and asked them a question, why wait? Why are you waiting to see what God has in store for you right now? So take the next steps and don't be afraid. The last night at camp, her and her friend Taylor decided to step out in boldness and step out in faith and take those next step and accept Jesus into her heart. I'm so proud of you. And then she decided there is no perfect moment to do what God's calling you to do. The perfect moment is right now. And so I'm so proud of her. She wants to thank her mom and dad for always showing what a Christian leadership looks like in the household. And she wants to thank her friend Lydia for always sharing godly advice and being a friend and a woman of God. Are you ready? Let's do this.
Ella, do you know Jesus?
Yes.
Upon your profession of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. All right, next up we have Kylie Kemp.
As the other leaders, I'm very nervous too. I got to meet Kylie, obviously, at church camp this couple weeks ago, and it was such a joy to get to know her and watch her open up. And her story, I love her story because I can relate to it, and I think a lot of you all can also relate to it, and it's so inspiring. She surrendered her life at church camp, and she, after praying that he would take control of her life, and she said that before Jesus, life was hard and it was tough. And she said that after Jesus, life got a little bit lighter and easier, and knowing that he was in control of her life. She wanted to go public with her faith because she wanted to show to everyone that it's never too late to surrender your life to Jesus. She wants to thank Leah Lusa, somewhere in this crowd, Hannah Martin, and anybody else who helped make this impact for her decision to meet, know, and follow Jesus. And Kylie, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of the decision that you made to go public with your faith, and I can't wait to see what God has in store for you.
Woo. Kylie, do you know Jesus as your Savior?
Yes.
Yes. Upon your profession of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. All right, next up we have Trinity. All right. Trinity was actually invited to camp by her friend Lily this year, who was actually just baptized at our last baptism Sunday. So, yeah, you can stop. Trinity surrendered her life to Jesus at camp this year. She said before coming to camp, she just kind of felt lost, didn't really know what life meant, where to go going forward. She felt like she was making some less than ideal decisions just out of her own hurt and suffering. But at camp this year, she said it was a wake-up call from God. And she knows that God loves her, will forgive her always, love her unconditionally. And she just feels, she felt like it was the right decision. So I'm very proud of you. That first night of small group, I didn't know if I'd get anything more than two words out of you for the week. But watching, you know, just how she opened up through camp, it was awesome to have a front row seat. So thanks for letting me be a part of it. Let's do it. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior?
Yes.
Upon your profession of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. All right, next up we have Sam.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, we're excited about Samantha getting baptized, and her dad's gonna baptize her, Kevin. And so he's baptized all of his kids. Yeah, this is pretty cool. And I'm gonna tell a bit of her story, and then Kevin's gonna baptize her, which is awesome. And so I just love watching godly men lead their families in this way. It's really cool, Kevin, so way to go there. Samantha went to youth camp and gave her life to Christ, and she's a changed person as a result. She's super grateful that her mom pushed her to go to camp, so way to go, mom, on that. Gail, way to go. And, you know, she was kind of following the crowd and decided to step out and give her life to Christ, and now that she's given her life to Christ, she's reading her Bible. She's more intentional about coming to church, and it's just cool to see God's hand on your life, Samantha. And so, you ready to get baptized?
Yes.
I'm going to let you talk.
Nobody told me that. I couldn't be more blessed as a father. First, the physical birth of your daughter, and then the spiritual birth, and very emotional. So proud of you.
That's great. Well, Samantha, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior?
Yes.
Awesome. Upon your profession of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. Well, Elizabeth Green, come on up, Elizabeth. And Elizabeth's dad, Marvin, is going to baptize her, which is awesome. And super proud of you guys and super excited. So come on down. Guys, I'll just take a second. Isn't this crazy? Like, literally, I'd always dreamed of being a part of a church like this. And it's just cool to see life change on this kind of scale, at this kind of level, to see just heart after heart after heart giving their lives to Jesus. And so if you're a part of Grace River, I want you to know you're a part of every one of these baptisms. So thank you. And if this is your first time hanging out with us, you're welcome to come back, okay? And so there's room here for you. If your life's not all put together, welcome to the club. We're all broken. We all need Jesus. And so we're super proud of you. Elizabeth, and a little bit about Elizabeth's story, and then we're going to have Marvin baptize her. She says she surrendered her life to God on Sunday at church, and her life was a wreck, but she knew that she has Jesus with her. She decided to get baptized because she wants to follow God. She wants to thank her mom, her dad, her grandma, and her aunts. And so, guys, thank you for being here today. Thank you for supporting her, and we're going to baptize you. Does that sound good? Awesome. Well, Elizabeth, you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior?
Yes.
She says yes with her hand on her nose. She's ready. Good. Well, upon your profession of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. Way to go.
You never stop working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working.
God, we love you. We thank you that you are a way maker. We thank you that you are a promise keeper, that you are light in the darkness. God, we thank you for who you are and what you've done in each of these students and kids and adults' lives. God, I pray that your word would penetrate our souls as we meet, know, and follow you today. I pray that we would all evaluate where we are spiritually and let today be a turning point where we would say that we are not the same anymore. We would walk out of here a different person because of what your word says and how it has the ability to transform lives. God, we love you and we thank you that you are a way maker. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat. Thank you guys again so much for being here. I'll tell you, we could baptize for 35 minutes and I could preach for 5 minutes and I'd be happy with it. I love baptisms. I don't know about you, but my heart was filled up for that. I was ready to go. And I know that for these, for those of you that are here supporting, for many of you, this may be your very first time here at Grace River. And we've said it a lot. Chris said it. My wife Hannah said it. You're always welcomed here. There's no better time than now to start coming to church and to start taking your faith seriously. Again, my name is Jacob. I get to lead our student ministry. I don't know if I mentioned that before, but I get to lead this fun group of students that went to camp, and it was so much fun going to camp. Don't get me wrong, but more than the fun that we had at camp, it was the most life-changing week. I was exhausted. I'm not going to lie to you. I came home, and I slept for about 14 hours because I was so tired. I made this commitment to myself that I was going to be the last one to go to bed and the first one to wake, and I think that was a bad idea. I don't know why. I was like, I'm just going to do this, and I was really, really exhausted. But here's the thing. I would do it all over again because I love these students. My heart burns for the next generation because I see their need for Jesus, and I have such a passion to tell every single student that I know about Jesus. And so thank you, church, for supporting these students. It doesn't go unnoticed. I love to be a part of a church that believes in the next generation. But here's the thing. What I want to do for our remaining time, I don't have a lot of time. Again, baptisms took a little long, but I'm going to celebrate that. I love that baptisms took a little bit longer than what we were expecting. Amen? So I'm not going to take too much of your time. I promise we're going to get out of here on time, 10:45. That way you guys can go to brunch and you guys can go have fun. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to preach another service and be envious of the fact that you're at brunch because I want to have brunch, but I can't. Here's the thing. Our students, they came face to face with this truth at camp, that you are fully known and fully loved. That Jesus, the King of the universe, King Jesus, he knows everything about you, and yet he loves you unconditionally. What an amazing truth. I shared that in Danica's story. That was the truth that really changed her life this year at camp. And I'm going to go back to Danica's story here in just a moment. But what I want for us today is I want for every single one of you, church person or not, Jesus freak or not, I want every single one of us in the room to come face to face with this reality that you are fully known and fully loved. In this moment, I want you to just be open. I don't know what it is that you believe about God. You may hate God, you may hate church, but you're here because somebody's getting baptized. You may be here because your spouse drug you here. I don't know what your story is, but would you just be open for the next few minutes to say, God, I'm ready to receive what you would have for me because I actually believe and I know that this truth will set you free. You will experience the freedom that these students experienced if you let it. I shared a little bit of Danica's story earlier, but I'm going to revisit that because I just think that it's so powerful to the main point of my message. Again, I shared this just a few moments ago, but Danica shared that a few months ago, she lost both of her grandparents, and then she also was hurt by somebody that was really close to her, and she was led down a road of depression, and it was really difficult for her. She questioned everything, his goodness, God's plan for her life, and even his existence. And she says this, "I had never felt so alone." She gave her life to Jesus last year at camp, and just a few months ago, she says, "I had never felt so alone." How many of you know when you give your life to Jesus, it's not always pretty? The enemy loves to attack. He loves to get you down. He loves to put this heavy weight on your shoulders that makes you believe that you're not worthy. She felt so alone, and she says, I did things that I shouldn't have. I stopped believing that God had a plan for me. But then she came to camp, and everything changed for her. She came face to face with this truth that we just talked about, that you are fully known and fully loved. And it was in that moment when she not only heard that truth, but she believed that truth, that she decided, now is my time to get baptized. That moment changed everything for her, and she said something so powerful. I didn't mention this in her story earlier, but these are her words. She says, your walk with God won't always be linear. I know that to be true. Your walk with God won't always be linear. You'll face trials. You'll slip up. But you can always turn back to God. My friends, that's the gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus. You are fully known. You are fully loved. And you are never abandoned. That moment changed everything for her. And I believe that God wants to do the same exact thing in your life today, right now, in this moment. Because here's what I know, is that the God that these students encountered at church camp 2 weeks ago in Miamisburg, Ohio, is not just a Miamisburg, Ohio Camp Chautauqua God. He is a God that is here to meet with you right here, right now. And I know you hear that God wants to meet with you in this moment, and some of you are like, absolutely not. Arms crossed, you're like, get away from me, God. Because you think, maybe your perception of God is a lot like your boss. When your boss wants to meet with you, you know, shame on you. You just did something wrong. It's not usually you getting a raise. It's you messed up on something. And a lot of us look at God that way. We think, man, if God wants to meet with me, he's surely going to condemn me because of the things that I've done, the things that I've thought, the things that I've said. But I'm here to remind you that the God of the universe, he knows everything about you, and yet he loves you unconditionally. Those two truths are the things that we're gonna walk through today. And again, I believe that these two truths will bring freedom to your life the way that it brought freedom to Danica, if you would let it. Here's the thing: if you are resistant, if you are saying, absolutely, I want nothing to do with God, it's gonna be really hard for you to receive what God would have for you. But I promise you, there is freedom on the other side of total abandonment, where you would say, God, I'm ready to receive what you would have for me. So these two truths that I want to talk about today, the first one is that Jesus knows you fully. Jesus knows you fully. Psalms 139, verses 1 through 4 say, O Lord, you have examined my heart, and you know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts, even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything that I do. You know what I'm going to say before I even say it, Lord. Psalm 139 shows us, it tells us that God's knowledge of us is total. There is nothing hidden between you and God. And listen to me, that changes everything. For so many of us, we think that we can hide things from God, the things that we're not proud of, by throwing it in the corner, putting a rug over it, throwing trash on it, and pretending like it hasn't happened. And we think, well, if nobody else knows about it, God surely won't know about it. Listen to me, God knows every single tear that you have ever cried. He knows every single weight that rests heavy on your shoulders, and he loves you. That's the message of the gospel. So Jesus knows you fully. He doesn't just see the surface level you. He sees the parts of your life that you've tried to hide, the guilt that you have carried for far too long. He sees the affair that you've had that nobody knows about. Whoa, that's scary, right? He knows the bitterness that you have buried. He knows the shame that you just can't seem to shake, the thoughts that you prayed to God nobody would ever find out about, but surely somebody's going to find out about it, right? God knows all of the things in your life. He sees it all, every regret, every secret, every dark corner of your heart. And here's the craziest part. He doesn't bat an eye. He doesn't run away from you. He doesn't shame you. He doesn't make you feel less than. He doesn't make you feel like a total piece of garbage. God, he comes to you and he says, hey, I know everything about you. And he embraces you. He says, I love you. And that, my friends, that changes everything. When you know that God's knowledge of you is total, that can be a scary thing. I think that for so many of us, we expect God to reject us if he knows everything about us. Why? Because that's what the world has done to us. Our relationships, if somebody was to know everything about you in your life, the good, the bad, and especially the ugly, a lot of us would think that that person wouldn't love us. And so the way that we look at our relationships and how they view us is how we view how God would treat us. We believe and we expect rejection. We've been hurt before. We've opened up to people and they said that they would stay, but they didn't. And let's just be honest, that's the worst, right? We've been honest and it's caught us. It's cost us. And so we just assume that God is going to do the same. We ask ourselves this question: if God really knew everything about me, how could he love me? And as we evaluate that question, as we think about that in our own lives, we think there's just no way he could love me, because we try to humanize God's love for us. Can I tell you guys, Jesus is different. Jesus' love for you is not like the love that your spouse has for you. Jesus sees everything. He knows everything, and he still chooses to love you, which leads me to my next point, that Jesus loves you unconditionally. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us, what? While we were still sinners. I want you to let that sink in for just a moment. I grew up in church since I was in third grade. My friend Chris Mata invited me to church, and my life hasn't been the same since. I was invited to church as a little boy, and I was promised that there was going to be donuts every Sunday morning at Sunday school, and then my crush from school was also there, so I was like, bring it on, I want to go to church. That's like a dream. Donuts and my favorite crush, and they're like, come on, this is the greatest thing ever. And then I go to church, and Jesus changed everything in my life. I gave my life to Jesus in fifth grade, and as I've grown up in church, as I've pastored over the last 5 years, there are some verses that become so familiar that they lose their awe. They lose the power. Not the Bible doesn't lose its power, but like in my own life, they lose its power because I've become so familiar with them. And this is one of those verses. Maybe for you, you've grown up in church since you were a little boy or a little girl, and you know this verse like the back of your hand. I want you to come and revisit this verse. I want you to be reminded of the power that is packed within this verse. It says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. It does not say that he came to die for you after you put your life back together. He doesn't say that he came to die for you after you prayed enough or gave enough or opened the door for enough old ladies. It's not about your good works. He came for you while you were still a sinner. He died for you knowing that you would mess up again. What kind of God does that? The God of the universe, King Jesus. That's what he does. He died for you knowing that you would mess up again. He died for you knowing that you would doubt him. He died for you knowing that you would fail him. And yet he still went because his love for you is not fragile. Again, I think that a danger in society is that we try to humanize God's love. God's love is not like your love for your child. You love your child with everything inside of you. I'm getting ready to be a dad in 2 weeks, and I am over the moon ecstatic about it. I'm going to love that child with everything inside of me, but it still doesn't compare to God's love for me, because I know, here's the thing, I know that whenever that kid turns 9 years old and he doesn't do what I tell him to do, I'm going to be upset. Some of you are like, yeah, trust me, I'm living in it right now. But that's not God's love for us. He sees your failures, he sees your mistakes, and he doesn't abandon you. He doesn't run away from you. His heart doesn't grow cold towards you. It doesn't back away when you're struggling. God's love for you stays, it fights, and it saves. It's important for all of us to know this truth about God's love, is that a lot of us think that God is going to love some future version of us, the version of us that isn't the midnight version, the shameful version of us, the one that you don't dare let anybody know about kind of version of you. We think that if we're going to come to God, we've got to clean our act up before we come to Him, that God is only able to love the future version of you, the future version of me. But I'm here to remind you that, God loves the you right now, the flawed version of you, the failed version of you, the fragile version of you. Can I remind you, my friend, you are still loved. When you not only know or not... When you not only hear, but you actually know and you believe this truth that you are fully known and you're fully loved, can I just tell you, it brings freedom to your life. It brings freedom. It brings freedom that Danica has experienced. I want that kind of freedom for you. It's brought freedom to my life. And I'm not going to lie, there are days that go by where it's a bit more difficult to believe this truth that I am fully known and fully loved. My circumstances start to take over. And I'm like, there's just no way God could love the real me. But I'm here to remind you that when you believe this, when you live in this truth, it brings real freedom to your life. There's a woman in the Bible who experienced the same kind of freedom. If you're familiar with John 4, it is the woman at the well. And this woman... she was ashamed. She was alone, and she was carrying the weight of her past. And as she comes to this well, she meets Jesus face to face. And a little bit of a backstory, if you don't know the woman at the well, she had 5 previous marriages, and she was living with a man that wasn't her husband. She comes to Jesus. She doesn't know Jesus is going to be there. She comes to this well, comes face to face with Jesus, and in that moment, I'm picturing, if I'm in her shoes, I'm expecting rejection because that's what the world has offered to me. So she might have come expecting rejection, but I'm here to remind you, she does not get rejected by God. She doesn't get shamed by God. She doesn't get these severe consequences for the things that she's done and the past that she has had to endure. What she expected was judgment from Jesus, but what she got was His love. Jesus names her reality. He tells her the truth about her life, and instead of condemning her, He offers her living water. And because of time, I can't get into the entire story, but I want to highlight verse 29. There's so much power in this verse. John 4, 29, she's running back to the village after she just encountered Jesus, and she says, "Come, see a man who told me everything that I ever did." Right? That's an odd way to sell Jesus, isn't it? She should have been embarrassed in that moment. But instead, she was empowered. For the first time, she was fully known, and she was fully loved. Can I tell you, friends, today, that's what God wants for you. I don't know what your past is. I don't know what your present is, but God loves the real you. I think that for some of us, we've grown up in church for years, but we've never really believed that God could love the real us. We believe that God could love the Sunday morning version of us, the polished version of us, but there's just no way He could love the midnight version of us, the version of us that you don't dare let anybody know about. But He does, right now, fully, without hesitation. If I could look every single one of you in the eyes right now, I would say this: you don't have to pretend anymore. You don't have to pretend anymore. God knows everything about you, and yet He still loves you unconditionally. The Bible says that we've all sinned. Every single one of us in this room have sinned. None of us are exempt from that. And the consequences of that sin is death. Wow, I came to church and I thought I was going to be encouraged, right? The consequences of that sin in your life is death. And it's not physical death, it's spiritual death. It's eternal separation from God, but God, right? but God. He changes everything. He sent his only son, Jesus, to this earth to live a perfect and sinless life, and he died a brutal death on a cross that he didn't deserve. But why in the world would a perfect and holy God send his only son, Jesus, to this earth to die a brutal death on a cross that he didn't deserve? It's because of the separation that was between you and I and God. There was this separation, there was this gap that we could not bridge on our own. We can't work our way to God. And so what God did is he sent his only son, Jesus, to this earth to be the metaphorical bridge for us to walk across and enter into a relationship with Jesus. And can I remind you that this relationship with Jesus is not a relationship full of shame and regret. This is a relationship where Jesus is offering to you today a life of freedom and forgiveness. You can't work your way to him. You were destined for hell. That's not fun to hear, but that's the reality. You were destined for hell, but God. He changed everything through his son. And now, as we kind of reflect today on that truth that you are fully known and fully loved, that kind of love demands a response. And so I've got not a lot of time, but this is important. This is so, so important for us to understand. That kind of love demands a response. What's your response going to be? Is your response to God's love going to be a response of rejection or acceptance? Are you going to receive God's love, or are you going to reject God's love? And I know that for some of you, you want to receive God's love, but you think in your mind that you need to clean some things up before you come to God. One final thing, I just need to remind you. You don't come to God cleaned up. You come to God in your brokenness, and then he cleans you up. Don't wait any longer. God redeems and restores when you come to him. In this moment, in your brokenness and all of the flaws that are displayed in your life, would you come to King Jesus and say, God, I'm ready to receive what you would have for me. If you would, bow your heads and close your eyes. If that's you, and you recognize that today is the day that you need to receive this gift of salvation, you need to receive this gift of God's love, I want you to flip your palms to heaven in this very moment, and I want you to say, God, I'm ready to receive what you would have for me. Here's the thing. There's nothing powerful. There's nothing supernatural about this posture that you're in with your palms flipped to heaven, but what this is a sign of is this is a sign that you are ready to receive what God is offering to you today. And what he's offering to you today is his love. If you're ready to receive that, I want you to flip your palms to heaven and say, God, I love you. I'm sorry that I have messed up. And I want you to pray this prayer. Jesus, I need you. I know that I've sinned. I've tried to do life my own way. But today, I believe you and only you to be the Lord of my life. I believe that you love me despite my flaws. I believe that you died and rose again to give me a new life. I receive your forgiveness and your love. I give you my heart and my future. I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. If you just said yes, I want to be the first to congratulate you. And we as a church would love to celebrate that with you and get some next steps and resources in your hand. And so I want to encourage you to just tell someone, maybe the person you're sitting next to or the person that brought you here today. You can also text yes to the number on the screen. And one of our staff pastors will reach out later this week and follow up. And again, we just want to encourage you on your spiritual journey. We as a church also get the opportunity to be a part of something great in our community. And so we are in the middle of our backpack drive for Fort Zumwalt School District. And so as you exit today, there's a table full of backpacks. And so I want to encourage you to grab a backpack or two, fill it with the school supplies that are on the list inside, and return it by the end of the month. But more than buying school supplies, we as a church are getting to be the hands and feet of Jesus to kids in our community who are maybe a little less fortunate and need some help this school year. And so as you fill up those backpacks, I want to encourage you to just pray over the student that's going to receive those backpacks, They're all the way from kindergarten to seniors in high school that are going to receive these. And if we could just pray for those students to have a good school year, for God to work in their lives, what amazing thing that would be that we get to be a part of. And so, again, I just want to encourage you to grab a backpack or two, fill those up, and bring them back by the end of the month. Would you stand with me? Thank you guys so much for being here on this Baptism Sunday. Hope you have a great week. We'll see you back next Sunday.